This is an English department podcast to help you revise for the World War I poetry questions on your GCSE English exam. We will be exploring the title, Compare and Contrast the Fate of the Common Soldier as Opposed to the Role of the Powers That Be.
If you want to find the general, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the general, I know where he is. He's pinning another medal on his chest. I saw him, I saw him, pinning another medal on his chest. Pinning another medal on his chest. If you want to find the colonel, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the colonel, I know where he is. He's sitting in comfort stuffing his bloody gut. I saw him, I saw him, sitting in comfort stuffing his bloody gut.
I saw him
sitting in comfort stuffing his bloody gut. If you want to find the sergeant, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the sergeant, I know where he is. He's drinking all the company rum. I saw him, I saw him, drinking all the company rum.
I saw him
drinking all the company rum. If you want to find the private, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the private, I know where he is. He's hanging on the old barbed wire. I saw him, I saw him, hanging on the old barbed wire.
I saw him,
hanging on the old barbed wire.
The Send-Off by Wilfred Owen. Closed darkening lanes.
In this quotation, we're given the setting for the soldier's departure for war. The poet uses pathetic fallacy to make everything seem really dark and ominous, to show us that death is very much on the horizon.
The face is grimly gay.
Here we've got the use of an oxymoron to show the confusion in the soldiers' minds. Part of them feels gay, happy, excited about becoming a hero, and part of them feels grim, like something somewhere isn't quite right.
As men's are dead.
This symbolism of the flowers that the women have adorned the soldiers with is really powerful, because on the one hand they're dressed for battle, or for going off to battle, but on the other hand they're dressed for their funeral, their own funeral, which all shows just how inevitable their death is going to be.
Gold porters watched them, and a casual tramp stood staring hard.
It seems here that they really are very insignificant. The only people who have turned out for their send-off are some dull porters and a casual tramp. The casual tramp is staring hard at them because he's confused, he doesn't understand it, or maybe because he knows the secret. It's almost as if everyone knows the secret, apart from these soldiers.
A lamp winked to the guard.
Again, like in the previous quotation, we've got the idea of society being complicit in this. Everyone knows but them, but the soldiers. Even the lamp winks conspiratorially to the guard, because they know what's going to happen.
Like wrongs hushed up.
Again, it's this idea of a guilty secret, a hidden crime. It's almost like it's a war crime, sending these innocent people oblivious, these innocent kids oblivious off to their death. The fact that the wrongs, the crime, is hushed up shows that those people sending them off know that it's a crime, that they know that it's wrong. And this is the ultimate injustice of it all. The generals, the politicians, the people who stayed at home knew that the young men were going off to certain death, and yet they sent them anyway.
We never heard to which front these were sent.
The whole thing seems really indiscriminate here. Clearly, young men are being sent off to all sorts of places all over Europe, and it's happening all the time, every single day. So these are just yet more cattle being sent off to slaughter. It shows the massive scale that this is happening on. And it also shows the anonymity of these young men. They're not someone's brother or son or father. They're just yet more pawns sent off on this chessboard to their deadly fate.
What women meant who gave them flowers.
This links back quite nicely to the second stanza, where we're told about the wreath that the men are wearing on their breast. There was so much pressure on the young men of England to be heroes for their lady folk. Lots of the propaganda posters showed them being heroes for their women, for their wives, for their daughters, for their mothers. And yet here, it's almost as if the women intended, they were somehow complicit in what was happening. They gave these men flowers, but these were the flowers that took them to their grave. And it's kind of revealing a rather disturbing conflict in the whole idea of the function of the flowers.
Shall they return to beatings of great bells in wild trainloads?
This is a rhetorical question, and therefore it really doesn't need an answer, even though Owen ends up answering it in the subsequent line. The idea here is that they're not going to be celebrated when they return, if indeed they return. And it's almost like there's a broken promise here. They were sent off as heroes. They were sent off being cheered, many of them, for the heroes they were going to become. And the idea here is that when they come back, there'll be nobody. And for these soldiers, there was nobody who sent them off either. So the whole thing is rather forgotten and ignored.
A few, too few.
Here we've got the diminishing numbers of the soldiers that the numbers that went off are gradually reduced as they are killed and slaughtered and murdered. And the repetition here shows how few, just how few, are ever going to return because the death was on such a massive scale.
Creep back, silent.
One would hope that soldiers coming back from battle would feel brave, would feel honourable, would feel like heroes. But the obvious fact here is that Owen is saying that they don't. They if they do come back at all, they're going to creep back silent because they feel ashamed. They feel disgusted by what they've seen, by the fact that so many of their comrades have lost their lives, and by the fact that they have survived almost like they don't deserve to. So the shame here is quite palpable.
Up half-known roads.
When the soldiers who do return come back, the fact that the roads they return to are half-known is, I think, incredibly important. It shows quite how much has changed since they went off to fight in the first place. The American poet T.S. Eliot wrote a fascinating and very famous poem in the 1920s called The Wasteland, which was exploring quite what a wasteland Western Europe had become after this massive conflict. And it's almost like an idea of a post-lapsarian world, a world after the fall, just like the paradise, the perfect pastoral world that existed before the First World War. And what is left is nothing like what these soldiers left behind when they first went off to fight. So the point here being that it's the whole of the civilization, the whole of society has been transformed by this massive mass slaughter.
The Parable of the Old Man and the Young by Wilfred Owen. Let's start with a reminder of the background behind this poem. Abraham and his wife grew to a ripe old age without having a child. They were so desperate and never stopped praying for God to work a miracle for them. God heard their prayers, and when they were close to 100, he blessed them with a son, Isaac. When Isaac was a young boy, God tested Abraham's obedience by asking him to kill Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham agreed to do this and got everything ready and climbed a mountain with his son, ready to do as God asked. Just before he tied up his son, a voice from heaven called out to Abraham, telling him not to kill Isaac. God had seen his obedience and was pleased with him. God provided a ram for Abraham to slaughter instead of his beloved son Isaac. So, what does this have to do with World War I?
Firstly, Abraham represents the government, or, as our essay question calls them, the powers that be. Secondly, Isaac represents the soldiers, the ordinary young men who were sacrificed by the powers that be, simply because these governments were not willing to swallow their pride. Thirdly, the angel mentioned in line 10 represents the voice of reason. The poets and writers, the musicians and artists, and even the ordinary citizens who protested against the war. Remember, in the biblical story, Abraham accepts the alternative and keeps his son alive. But in 1914 to 1918, the governments of Europe would not do so. Instead, they refused to swallow their pride. And in line 15 and 16, we are told slew his son and half the seed of Europe. And how did they do it? One by one. This highlights how brutally these ordinary soldiers were killed. As you revise, you might also want to look at comparing the portrayal of the father in this poem with the father in The Seed Merchant's Son.
Recruiting by E.A. McIntosh. Fat civilians thanking God that they're over 41.
The poet is critical of the powers that be, referring to them as fat old men. He suggests that they are cowardly because they're thanking God that they're over 41.
Girls with feathers and blasted journalists.
There appear to be three main targets in this poem: the civilians who stand by and watch the soldiers go to war, the girls with feathers who just sing vulgar songs, and the blasted journalists who are just out for a story.
More poor devils like yourselves waiting to be killed by you.
Here the poet seems to be highlighting the fate of the common soldier. German soldiers will share the same fate as their British counterparts.
A million men that call you to share their martyrdom.
The poet believes that the soldiers will be martyrs, dying for the belief that their deaths will mean that England is kept nice and safe.
Lads, you're wanted. Come and learn to live and die with honest men.
The poet thinks highly of the common soldier, referring to them as poor devils and honest men.
Learn the gaiety and strength in the gallant sacrifice, and lads, you're wanted, come and die.
The poet's sarcasm is generally reserved for and directed at those in power who use propaganda to mask the gruesome reality of war and death. Soldiers are sarcastically invited to learn the gaiety and strength in gallant sacrifice, in contrast to the powers that be, who will be safe at home but pleased that we've got them on the run.
Love them. to the people you love. 'Cause death cannot part us if life already has. Hold on.